morning, everyone. My name is Pamela. So I love stories. Don't know about you, but I love reading novels. I'm a Jane Austen fan. And I love watching movies, especially those based on a true story. And I love hearing people here tell their stories. So last Sunday, we started our new sermon series on people in the Bible who are not the main characters. And today we're looking at Martha. Who is Martha? What's Martha's story? The basics that we know about Martha are that she was a woman who knew Jesus. She lived in a village called Bethany near Jerusalem. And she had two siblings. She had a sister Mary and a brother Lazarus. We don't know if she was single, married, or widowed, but it's generally thought that she was single. So, where are we going to find Martha's story? So let's do a quick tour of the Gospels to find out. Got a table showing the four Gospels and where the three Bethany siblings are mentioned. The green tick means they're actually named. The orange tick means that they're referred to but not named. So if we look down Martha's column, we see that Martha is not mentioned at all in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. But Martha and her sister Mary are found in one event in Luke's Gospel when Jesus was in their home. And then in John's Gospel, Martha and both her siblings are mentioned in two events. The first was when Jesus raised Martha's brother from the dead, and the second was when Martha's sister anointed Jesus' feet. And if we look at the column for Mary, if we go up, we can see that Matthew and Mark also mention the anointing, but they don't name Mary. They just said a woman. So these three events show a special friendship that Martha and her sister and brother had with Jesus. We don't know how and when they first met, but their relationship would have taken time to develop. And that's the same for us. God wants us to be in relationship with him, but it takes time after we first meet Jesus to grow this relationship with him. Weeks, months, years, decades. But it's as we choose to spend time with him that our relationship deepens. And it's when we choose to involve him in our lives, when we choose to talk with him, listen to him, learn from him. So when we choose to live our lives conscious of his presence with us. And for those of us who have known Jesus for a long time, our relationship is not something that we should take for granted or neglect. So when we add references to Bethany, the village where Martha lived, we can see it in the right-hand column there, all four Gospels mention Bethany right at the end of their Gospels in that last week when Jesus was in Jerusalem just before he was crucified. And that includes the fact that during the daytime, Jesus spent the days in Jerusalem, but at night he stayed in Bethany, and almost certainly in Martha's home. We can also see that John names Bethany earlier in his gospel, but Luke just says a village. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke mention Bethany only at the end of their gospels. Why? It's because in their gospels, Jesus makes only one journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. And he arrives in the city just those few days before he was arrested. And this would not have allowed time for him to develop this friendship with Martha and her family. However, John's gospel fills in some of the gaps. And he tells us of several journeys that Jesus made to Jerusalem from Galilee. And this means that in those 2 to 3 years of his public ministry, there was the time and the opportunity for Jesus to meet and get to know the Bethany family. Now, I love maps and geography. so I couldn't resist putting in a map here to show the routes that Jesus would have taken between Galilee and Jerusalem. You can see Galilee at the top, Judea at the bottom, and these were both Judean or Jewish areas, and Samaria's in that area in the middle. And the shortest route was just straight down the middle. It's in white, but you might be a bit hard to see. And that took 3 days of walking through the hill country. But it was a dangerous route because Samaritans and Jews did not like each other, and at times they were openly hostile to each other. So the main alternative route was the one in red on the right. And this is the route Jesus usually took. It took longer, 5 to 7 days, but it was safer because it avoided going around Samaria by going down the east side of the Jordan River, which you can see running down there in the blue from the Sea of Galilee. And this east side of the river was often just called the other side of the Jordan. And then travellers recrossed the Jordan near Jericho, which you see down the bottom, and then they climbed up the road to Jerusalem. So where exactly was Bethany? Where did Martha live? You might just be able to see a tiny little purple dot right next to Jerusalem. That's Bethany. So we can zoom in. we can see that the village of Bethany was located very close to Jerusalem, and it's on that red route, on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. So every journey that Jesus made to and from Jerusalem along this road, he would have passed through Bethany. Now this Jerusalem-Jericho road was steep and wound its way through wilderness, rocky terrain, but it could be walked in 8 to 9 hours, so that's a long day, but it was a grueling climb up from Jericho. So Martha's home in Bethany would have provided a welcome place for Jesus to rest after his exhausting journey. And also, Bethany was less than 3 kilometres from Jerusalem, so Martha's home was in easy reach of the city, and so her home would also have provided Jesus with a place of rest and refuge from the demands of the Jerusalem crowds and from his conflicts with the Jerusalem leaders. I wonder, how do people feel when they're with us? When they're hanging out with us, when they're in our homes, do they find the same peace and refreshing that Jesus found in the home of his Bethany friends? I know when I first came to this church over 35 years ago, it was through the people that I met here that I found this to be a place to rest and to heal, which is what I needed at that time. So now, let's look at Martha's story as told in these three events in the Gospels. And let's keep in mind, Jesus and Martha know each other well by this time. Starting with Luke chapter 10, and I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. So I know it's small, so yeah. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She welcomed him, she received him. She had a sister Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. In this culture, sitting at the feet of a teacher was the typical position for a pupil to take when they're learning from their teacher. Now, Jewish teachers or rabbis were usually opposed to women learning, but here we find that Jesus approved of Mary sitting at his feet and learning from him. So he approved of her being a learner, or pupil, or in Latin, the word is disciple. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha's busy preparing a meal for Jesus, and presumably also for his disciples. And the Greek word translated distracted means to be pulled away, dragged away. So Martha had been drawn away by her household responsibilities. And so this strongly suggests that Martha would also have liked to have been sitting there and listening to Jesus, but she felt prevented from doing it because of having to provide hospitality. And so continuing, we read that Martha stopped what she was doing and came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." We don't get many people in the Bible telling Jesus what to do. In the Greek, the way Martha phrased her "don't you care" question indicated that she expected the answer to be yes. She expected Jesus to agree with her, to be on her side. And actually, when you think about it, Martha's request for Mary to help her, to work with her, was actually very reasonable. You know, if Mary had helped, then the work would have been done sooner, and then both sisters would have been able to listen to Jesus. Makes sense. But Jesus' reply was not what Martha expected. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Jesus is sympathetic. His "Martha, Martha" shows his love and concern, but his reply is also a rebuke, a gentle rebuke about her attitude. But Jesus is not fazed by the way she spoke to him. He knows her well, just as Jesus knows each of us very well. Jesus can handle it when we bring our frustrations and our anger and our hurts to him in prayer. These do not have to be expressed to him in polite, restrained, churchy language. We can be real. Jesus can handle it. In fact, Jesus ignores Martha's words and instead goes straight to what lies behind her words. He sees what's really happening with Martha, and he sees things that Martha doesn't realize about herself. He says, "You're worried and troubled by many things." Now, Jesus knows she's wanting to provide a really nice meal for him. He knows she's in her happy place. He knows her motives are good. But Martha, without realizing it, has put extra stress on herself. Perhaps she's making the meal too elaborate or making too many dishes. And this has affected her attitude towards her sister. She's become resentful of Mary and probably of Jesus as well. Perhaps there have been times when you too have set out with joy and love to serve God, to do something for him, and for whatever reason, you end up getting stressed about it. It becomes more of a chore than a joy. And same with my sermon preparation sometimes. I think we all know that when we're stressed, this can affect our attitude and behaviour towards the people around us. Things that wouldn't normally bother us start to irritate. We can get annoyed or upset or feel let down by people and by God. Martha, in her stress, sees only one solution. Mary must be made to help her. But Jesus, in his wisdom and his love for both sisters, is not going to resolve Martha's problem by taking away from Mary something that is, firstly, it's Mary's particular way of expressing her love for him, and it's also, secondly, good for all followers of Jesus, and that is to listen and learn from him. So, after pointing out to Martha what the heart of the problem is, he then gives Martha some domestic advice about the meal. Few things are needed. What he's saying is, "Martha, you don't have to make so many dishes. A simple meal will be fine for me, and then you too will have time to sit and listen and learn from me." Do you sometimes feel that whatever it is that's bothering you is too small for God to be interested in? It's not. God loves you, he's interested in you, so if something is affecting you, then he is interested. It's not a bother to him. It's not too small for him to care about. So, yeah, we tell him how we feel. Involve him. It's all part of our relationship with him. One final comment about this story in Luke. It is not setting up a contrast between these two sisters. Now, yes, the sisters clearly have different characters and personalities and ways of expressing themselves, but they're not being contrasted. And I've seen devotional material that asks, are you a Martha or are you a Mary? So are you good or are you bad? But there's no personality type that is somehow better or more Christian or more loved by Jesus. We are who we are, and Jesus loves each of us with all our different personalities. Now, I thought I had all this sussed out in my teens and my 20s, but there are times even now when I really need to know this, that we are all loved by God, no matter our personalities or our abilities. And we're not loved any less or any more than anyone else. We are all loved by God. But as with Martha, Jesus in his love for us sometimes gives us a nudge by his Holy Spirit or a rebuke to get our attitudes right and our relationship with him back on track. And it's the same Holy Spirit who molds our character and produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. In this story, Luke is making a point that listening and learning from Jesus is a priority for all followers of Jesus. So when Martha gets her attitude back right, she'll be able to continue to express her love for Jesus and others through her hospitality, but at the same time ensure that she doesn't neglect listening to Jesus and learning from him. So let's look at the second event in Martha's story. This is found in John's Gospel, chapter 11. This is when Jesus raised Martha's brother from the dead. And I encourage you to read the whole story for yourselves. So this is just a few weeks before the crucifixion, and Jesus is staying with his disciples on the other side of the Jordan, around 3 days' walk from Jerusalem. He's retreated to this spot after people tried to stone him when he was in Jerusalem for the festival of dedication. And so in retreating to the other side of the Jordan, he would have followed that red route out of Jerusalem. And we know he must have called in at Martha's home on the way because she knows where to find him. So reading verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Everywhere else, Martha is listed first before her sister Mary, which probably indicates she was the older sister. Here, I think John probably thinks his readers are more likely to have heard of the anointing and know about Mary, so he mentions Mary first. When he heard this, Jesus said to his disciples, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus already knows that he will raise Lazarus back to life. And Jesus also knows that in raising Lazarus from the dead, that's going to lead directly to his own death and his resurrection from the dead. This is truly Jesus when laying down your life for your friend. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Jesus staying where he was for another 2 days does not sound like something a friend would do. Martha has asked for his help, yet he stays. So therefore, John makes it clear that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so he stayed 2 more days. He stayed because of his love for Martha and her siblings. So Jesus then headed back to Judea with his disciples, knowing that Lazarus had already died. And we pick up the story in verse 17. On his arrival in Bethany, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many Jews from Jerusalem had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Here again, we see the practical, active, hospitable Martha going out to greet her visitor. Jesus then has a conversation with Martha, and it's one of several conversations recorded in John's Gospel that Jesus has with individuals where he reveals key things about himself, about who he is. And the wide range of people involved in these conversations that shows us that Jesus speaking into our lives, into people's lives, into our lives, is not determined by how society sees us or by how we see ourselves. In John's Gospel, there's a conversation Jesus has with the disciple Nathanael, who doesn't make the cut when Jesus chooses his 12 disciples to be his inner group. There's Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, the opposition. There's a Samaritan woman, a Samaritan and a woman. And here Jesus converses with practical Martha, with her hands-on skill set, rather than conversing with her more contemplative, spiritual sister Mary. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know even now God will give you whatever you ask. Now Martha's not accusing or blaming Jesus in any way. She is simply expressing her belief in him, that if he had been in Bethany, he could have and would have healed her brother. And she affirms that her trust and belief in Jesus is unchanged. And she's not expecting a miracle now. We know the end of the story, but she doesn't. That opportunity has passed. You know, it's 4 days after the burial. Her brother is well and truly dead. And according to Jewish beliefs at the time, his soul is now in the place of the dead, in Hades and Sheol in Hebrew. Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again, which is a deliberate double meaning by Jesus. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. By this time, most Jews, but not all of them, believe there will be a resurrection, meaning just a rising, of the dead, from the place of the dead, at the end of the age. But Jewish beliefs about the detail varied a lot. Just like there are various Christian beliefs about heaven and life after death, which have developed over the centuries since. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe. Or I have come to believe, as process, that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now here we have one of those seven great metaphorical I am proclamations that Jesus makes about himself that are recorded in John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. And here in his conversation with Martha, the incredible revelation of himself as the resurrection and the life. Jesus is integral to the resurrection and to our eternal life. We read in the other Gospels of Peter's confession of faith when Jesus asked the disciples, who do you believe I am? And Peter replied, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now that's Peter, one of those, the core group of disciples being daily taught by Jesus and witnessing miracle after miracle. And here we have Martha making a similar powerful statement of her faith. Martha, who as a woman in her culture was not allowed to be educated, and whose life was largely confined to her home and family. It made me think that whatever constraints and limitations that we feel are over our lives, none of them is a barrier to Jesus speaking to us and revealing himself to us. So then we read, verse 28, after Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And then Mary, followed by the mourners, goes out to meet Jesus to the place where Martha had spoken to him. And then shortly after that, Jesus asked to be taken to the tomb. So verse 38, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Now, you can't have the story of Martha without what she says next. Martha pipes up. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. It stinks, for he has been there 4 days. So, the ever practical, logical Martha. Jesus then calls and prays in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out, and Lazarus is raised from the dead, and Martha's brother is brought back to life and restored to her. Now, the third and final gospel event in Martha's story takes place just a few weeks later, when Jesus returns to Jerusalem for the final time, so just days before his arrest and crucifixion. And Martha and her siblings are all at a dinner held in Bethany. Verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Martha served. Martha is busy being Martha. She is once more expressing her love for Jesus through her hospitality and her practical skills. She is preparing and serving the meal. But no complaining this time about her sister not helping her. Martha's right attitude towards her sister, she's got it back right, and this allows Mary the freedom to then express her own love for Jesus in her own way. So, that's Martha's story. Martha, a friend of Jesus and loved by him. Martha, a woman who welcomed Jesus into her home. Martha, who expressed her love for Jesus through her hospitality and practical giftings. Martha, who asked Jesus for help and witnessed a miracle. Martha, to whom Jesus proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, who said to him, yes, Lord, I believe.